What an incredible blessing it is to have young people not only as members of our congregation, but also the driving force behind today's service. Their passion that they bring to worship today is awe-inspiring. We should leave here encouraged today. We are aware that churches out there long for fresh perspectives of young people, that young people bring. And today we experience the hard work and dedication as every part of the service has been planned and arranged by them. I want to thank the entire youth team who has supported and guided them, not just recently or while I've been here, but for a long time now, which has led us here today. As a church, may it be our sincere prayer that we will always maintain a heart that nurtures and empowers our young people. Maybe we want to create an environment where they feel valued, encouraged, and fully embraced as integral members of this worshiping community. And may we continue to discover and embrace their unique place in the body of Christ, serving him with such passion and dedication. And to our young people, you can relax now. Your job's over. I want to thank you, and I'm sure many others here too, to give our deepest gratitude and admiration. Your energy and genuine devotion touches the heart of every person here today. To get up the front and step out of your comfort zone in front of your peers is such a great thing to see. We want you to know that you are the very essence of the church, the embodiment of its future. Your willingness to step forward and take ownership and lead us in worship fills us all with a profound sense of hope and excitement for what lies ahead in God's plan for his church. To those in the game show, to Fergus and Jenna and Annie in the band, to those in the drama, I think we should give them a round of applause here this morning. So in the first part of our journey today, we're reminded of a seemingly light-hearted example, a scene where Elliot introduces Michael to the most famous extraterrestrial, E.T., for the very first time. E.T. stands as one of those timeless cinematic masterpieces that captivated the imaginations of countless individuals to explore the depths of space and life itself. However, as we delve into the story of E.T., we discover parallels of emotions portrayed in the scripture today. We encounter moments of sheer excitement, the unbelievable first encounter. We witness moments of doubt and disbelief, and we experience moments of fear, and yes, even moments of disappointment. These are the very emotions that resonate deeply with our story unfolding on the road to Emmaus. But before we get on the road, let us remind ourselves of how we got to this passage today. Prior to the road to Emmaus, we had the crucifixion, the resurrection, the revealing of Jesus to certain people, and now on the road to Emmaus, shortly before the disciples. First, as we remember on Good Friday, Jesus died on a cross, taking our sins and shames and giving up his life, declaring it is finished, so that we can be in relationship with God again through him and him alone. Then the resurrection that we celebrated on Easter Sunday only a few months ago. Then the revealing, first to the women, to Peter, and then to those on the road where we find ourselves today. Then the disciples, and everyone except Thomas was there. So let us read these verses again from the road to Emmaus, found in Luke 24, 13 to 34, from his holy word. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. And one of them, Cleophas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened here in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did all the powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said that his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in Scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. By the time they were nearing Emmaus and at the end of their journey, Jesus acted as he was going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the Scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord really has risen. He has appeared to Peter." So question one, if you go into the next slide, using your phones, what stands out for you in this story? Feedback, what is standing out for you as we've seen it acted out, as we've heard it in the song and heard it read? What stands out for you in the story of the road to Emmaus? What an amazing set of responses, and keep responding as I speak through them. How they didn't recognize him, how their hearts burned, the joy of seeing Jesus, all these things coming up for us here today, and things I'm going to look at exploring now. So part two, we're going on an adventure. So we start with Jesus as he meets the followers on the road. They're leaving behind Jerusalem and onwards to Emmaus. Emmaus was known as a place of hot springs around 7 miles west of Jerusalem. These followers, unknown to us except for one called Cleophas and the other one referred to as the other one, never mentioned before and never mentioned again, have left behind everything and returned to Emmaus from disappointment to home, getting on with life when Jesus stops them and joins them. "What are you discussing?" Jesus asks them in their confusion and surprise. They respond, "Don't you know what's going on?" This was a big deal. How could this guy, so close to Jerusalem, probably about 3 to 5 miles, halfway on their journey, how could he not know what had happened? Only a week ago, Jerusalem was celebrating Jesus with a triumphant entry. Only 3 days ago, Jerusalem was killing this man. And then this morning, 3 women were declaring Jesus has risen from the dead. And somehow, we find these men on the road, walking away from disappointment. I can relate to this. A major part of my testimony and my long and winding story back to relationship with Christ started with disappointment. I had it all. I left uni, I got a job traveling America with a music mission, and on my first tour from Florida to Ohio, over 2.5 months, 44 concerts, visiting such a large part of America, this was the life I had dreamt of, and God gave it to me on a silver platter. The lyrics from a Need to Breathe song summed this moment up for me. "The world I see look good for me, right from where I stand." And I posted this on Facebook just one day before the next part of this story. And the first week, I was on a lake house in Georgia. It was paradise. Lake out the back, a big American-style wooden cabin. We had boats, had it all. The Keanu Reeves film, The Lake House, was actually filmed on this lake. It was paradise. It was epic, but within days of arriving, it all came crashing down. I was sitting in a Starbucks in Atlanta when I got a call from my dad to say my mom had left. Lots of debts, and the house was near repossession. Didn't know what was going to happen. I'm over the other side of the Atlantic. I'm like, what do you want me to do? There was lots of confusion, lots of things, and definitely lots of disappointment. My hopefulness to disappointment. And I see this is where we find these followers. The thought of victory and Jesus coming to rescue them to a dead-end conclusion, or so they thought. And this line, Jesus speaks so much into the situation. "You find it so hard to believe all in the Scriptures." For these men, in their disappointment. Jesus first called out their unbelief. They leave behind their expectations, their hope of Messiah, and despite reports of Jesus coming back from the dead, decide to make their own plans, however temporary, and return to Emmaus. Disappointment really is a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Then we see Jesus explaining the scriptures regarding himself. I imagine this being one of the best Bible studies ever, and doubt Jesus had an issue with interpretation either. Jesus first asks, Jesus hears, and then Jesus responds. Jesus takes time with Cleophas and the other one, and then they reach the end of the road, return to Emmaus, and invite Jesus in a moment of community. Jesus reveals himself. After hours of walking, the very most insane Bible study with its very author, they sit down, eat a meal, and Jesus reveals himself to them. What was it that showed them to Jesus, as so many of the questions asked? The fact he took time to stay, the way that he spoke, the way he broke bread, the scars from the nails that remained in his hands, Jesus removing the scales from their eye and revealed his glory at that moment. All of the above, maybe? Now, because of seeing Jesus, the disciples went running back to Jerusalem, a place they had originally left filled with disappointment, but now returned filled with hope and joy. In their disappointment, Jesus revealed himself, his glory, his plan, and his purpose, and they went running to him. Can you imagine what they chatted about on the way back compared with the way to Emmaus? The talk of disappointment and confusion and needing to get away was now chat of outstanding awe at the glory of God. This encounter with Jesus changed their disappointment into praise. We have seen him. We have really seen him. I can imagine Cleophas and the other one. Hallelujah, he is alive. He was dead, but he has returned, and we have saw him. Just imagine that. So question two. Like these followers, do we struggle with to see Jesus in our disappointments? I'll give you a few minutes. Pretty unanimous, eh? One of the ones I loved was, I sometimes, at the time, but not after. And that's where we find these men after running back to Jerusalem to tell others, it's true, what they said is true. But in that moment, yes, it's hard. And in those disappointments, we struggle. So what's the meaning of this story that we can apply to us today? Are we on our road yet? I have 3 points to make now in a true youth worker style. 1, Jesus joins us in disappointments. 2, Jesus hears us in our disappointments. And 3, Jesus reveals himself to us through those same disappointments. Today in our journey of life, we see experience real ups and downs, turmoils and celebrations. We have mind-blowing, amazing moments of joy, whether weddings or celebrations of newborns, joys of holidays and breaks, baptisms, new jobs, yearly celebrations with family. Jesus celebrates with us there. Or in our disappointments, the injuries, the sadness, the tears, the heart-wrenching diagnosis, the end-of-life care, the loss or the mourning. Jesus weeps with us there. On the day of resurrection, Jesus began in the garden, and then he joined his friends in their sadness and anxiety, and with Cleophas and the other one on the road, in their disappointment on the road. Jesus joined in a meal, and shortly after, Jesus joined in fellowship with his friends, his brothers and sisters, and his disciples. And on our road to heaven, Jesus joins with us here and now. Not a far-off, distant God, but a present with us Savior. While the disciples waited, Jesus joined with those in need. Think about that. Then Jesus hears us. Have you ever had those moments where you just can't let anything get ahead of yourself? It's so hard, you just need to get away from it. You struggle to believe that it's going to get better. Jesus heard the disappointments and devastation feeling that these men felt. They left it behind. Even after hearing the news that he has risen, that was tough for them. The disbelief and false hope was just too much to bear. We saw him die, and we just need to go. This is where we find these men on the road. These men left it behind to go and follow Jesus and leave gutted, returning home in disappointment and devastation. And there's so many times in the Bible We humans are just so forgetful about what God has done for them. Some of them just being the Israelites in the desert, the Israelites in the promised land. In fact, the Israelites for the rest of the Old Testament. That's where Jesus meets these men and hears them and calls out their unbelief, and in a moment of outstanding grace, reveals himself to them. In their broken-hearted moments of despair and disappointment, that's where Jesus hears from these men and hears from us too. And finally, Jesus reveals himself to us. Isn't it ironic or a God incident that after a series on hearing from God, how do we hear from God? We have one, unplanned, on Jesus revealing himself to us. And that's the hardest bit for us in the moment. In the deepest moments of disappointment and despair, that's where Jesus reveals himself to us and calls us to him. For these men, they couldn't wait. Within the hour, remembering it was night, they couldn't wait. No fear of being mugged or even killed because their Savior lives. They could not wait. How does Jesus reveal himself in your life today? And how are you telling others that story? Are you like these two men that within the hour instantly leg it back to Jerusalem to tell them what would happen? Or do you wait? Or do you just ignore it? Can you wait the night, or is it within the hour? For Cleophas and the other one, Jesus comes alongside them on the road to Emmaus. He asks what's going on for them, hears of their disappointment, teaches them of what had happened, and reveals himself to them through the scriptures and then round a table over dinner. And now on your road to Emmaus, Jesus meets with you. On your road to Emmaus, Jesus hears your despair and disappointment. And on your road to Emmaus, Jesus reveals himself and the plan for his glory despite your pain and disappointment. Wherever your road to Emmaus is coming from, where it is going is only for temporary relief, because Christ will call you back to him for his glory and your good. And you want to know the truth? For Jesus, you'll go back to running to what was a place of disappointment, to find yourself running right into the arms of your living Savior. And now there's a video.